All right. Well, welcome, North Langley. Welcome to all of you who are here in the room. Thanks for joining us in worship here on site. And welcome to all of you at home. For some of you who are brand new to the live stream, we want to thank you for joining in. My name is Matthew, and we do hope that that you will experience a delight as we together, both on site and in our homes, journey together as we listen and follow Jesus. So welcome here. We're in a three-week vision series where we take these 3 weeks every September to refocus and remind ourselves of what the main idea is. What is the whole point? Well, the whole point of our Christian life is to follow Jesus, is to be a disciple of Jesus. That's the language of the New Testament, to be a disciple of Jesus. And so when we think about discipleship, we at North Langley have found that there's a particular word that really helps us, and it's the word apprentice. Apprenticeship, to be apprenticed to Jesus. What that means is to follow him, to learn from him, but to do things. As he tells us what to do, we follow in obedience. And so we're learning and doing. And slowly as we learn and do under our master, Jesus, as we are apprenticed to him, he slowly begins to shape us and form us into the kind of people that he wants us to be. And so that is the journey. It's the journey of every follower of Jesus. And so that is what we are reminding ourselves of for these 3 weeks. Now, a little recap from last week. We talked a little bit about what apprenticeship to Jesus looks like. And sometimes we think that the word disciple or the word apprentice is for like a higher level Christian, and that maybe that is reserved for someone who's like a missionary or who's really good at Christian Jeopardy. They can interact with a Christian, Alex Trebek, and get all the answers right, right? Like, that's what we think a disciple is. But that's a bad way to look at it. It's really bad to see Christianity as a two-tiered system where there's kind of like normal Christians, kind of like, I'm a normal Christian, I'm an everyday Christian, I'm not really that into it. But then there are those who are like tier two, like our next level Christians, they're really into it, and that's good for them. But I'm just kind of your normal Christian. Well, those two tiers, those don't exist. When it comes to following Jesus, we're all in this together. He invites each one of us to follow him. Here's his plan. He looks at you and he says, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. He looks at you and says, come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of people. This is the invitation Jesus gives you. He gives each one of us to come and to receive his life. His life, his forgiving, his transforming, his redeeming, his reworking, his rewiring, his reviving, his abundant and eternal life. That is what he is inviting you into. And not only that you and I would receive that life and be changed by it and be transformed by that life, but that we would welcome others into it as well. That we would be apprentices who welcome others into apprenticeship with Jesus. That we would be disciples who make disciples. So, Dallas Willard writes, the greatest issue facing the world today with all its heartbreaking needs is whether those who by profession or culture are identified as Christians will become disciples, students, apprentices, practitioners of Jesus Christ, steadily learning from him how to live the life of the kingdom of the heavens into every corner of human existence. North Langley, all of it belongs to Jesus. Every part of us belongs to Jesus. And our hope as a church family is that he would look into every aspect of my life and begin to change it and form it for his glory. So for 3 weeks, we are exploring three spaces or spheres where we live out our apprenticeship to Jesus. And my really complicated visuals from last week, we're going to do that again this week. So we as a staff team, we're talking about three spheres or spaces where we live out our apprenticeship to Jesus. And so so we have three kind of overlapping spheres. And when we think about the pandemic and when we think about Jesus giving us clarity with how to live our life for him, I believe if we focus on three specific areas, we'll get clarity from Jesus, from the Holy Spirit, with how to live out our apprenticeship to Jesus. And so last week we looked at worship together. Now, just a recap on last week. Worship together. We said that as a follower of Jesus, it is massively important for us to worship together. The pandemic will pull us solo, isolated, will pull us away from each other. But the hope is that we can gather. And so I want to thank all of you who are here on site. Thank you for gathering. And I want to give a huge shout out to all of the home churches. Home churches, give a little shout out. We can't hear you, but I'm glad you're together. That's so good. And so you guys can air high five each other, pandemic style, in your room there, because you're gathering. Thank you for gathering in those living rooms across our city. We're worshiping together. Jesus has called us into a community, and so we worship together on Sunday. And so, again, you've already heard a lot about home church and on-site, but that's that. And our desire is that you would get clarity with what Jesus is calling you to do every Sunday as we worship him. All right, so the second one, the one we're going to look at today, is life together. Life together. Now, we've done a whole series on this. If you were at our church a year and a half ago, we did a whole series on life together. But the main focus and what we're going to look at today, so I'll say just a little bit because we're going to get into it deeper, but that Jesus is calling us to walk in a small community together. Now, there's an overlap here. You see this? Your home church and your life together group can be the same group, but it may not be. And for most people, it won't be. That there is a small community that you are going to walk with and you confess your sin to, pray for them, be encouraged by them, mutual care for each other, loving one another, that there is a small community that Jesus is calling you to walk with as you follow him. And finally, it's our love for one another. I don't even know if that was the right title, but that's what I'm going to call it today. Love one another. Love for one another. It is how are we going to be thinking of others during this pandemic? How are we going to be reaching out to others, caring for others, and being disciples who make disciples? And all of that will be next week. And so today, life together. And we want to get clarity on what it means to follow Jesus in our life together. Let's get some vision here. I was thinking about the fall. And whenever I think about the fall, I think about football. How many of you here on site are with me? Fall equals football? Anybody? Three of you. Thank you to all three of you. Fall to me is football. When the leaves start falling, I just get so excited about college football specifically. I know very little about the NFL, but I love college football. And when I was thinking about life together, I thought, so many sports are amazing and wonderful, and so many of sports you can play alone. And so I think of sports like golf or swimming or gymnastics, right? Like, these are sports that you can do alone, right? You know, sometimes you need people there for safety purposes, but you can do some of these things all on your own. And when you think about other sports like basketball or hockey or soccer, You can't play those alone, but you can still head out onto the field and maybe, you know, dribble the ball around, head onto the court, dribble, take some shots, basketball, maybe hop on the ice, shows you, I know nothing about ice hockey, but, you know, you can probably shoot the puck or whatever, skate around. You know, you could kind of just go out and do that on your own. You can't really play those sports alone, but you can kind of spend some quiet moments kind of perfecting some skills in the game alone. But now think of sports like baseball. Or think of tennis, or think of football. How would you ever play those alone? Like, you can't even go out to a field by yourself and try. I mean, try to go play tennis by yourself. I guess they have those walls that you can just, like, hit a ball against. But, you know, think of football. When I think of football, it is a team sport. You cannot play the sport alone. And this gets at Jesus' design for his people. As Christians, we're simply not designed to live the Christian life alone. And maybe you have experienced frustration in your life. And maybe when you follow the dots or follow the lines, you can connect it to the fact that you have been trying to follow Jesus by yourself. Now, does he love you deeply? Yes. Is there so much we can learn on our own? Of course. But the design of the Christian life was that you would walk this life in community with others. Now, I want us to read Acts 2, 42 to 47. This is a picture of the early Christians when they were first gathered together. This is one of the high points of Scripture. Let's read this together. This is after Jesus ascended to be with the Father, and these are the early Christians in the city of Jerusalem gathered together. Listen to the description of what their life looked like. They, the early Christians, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Absolutely powerful picture of the early church gathered together. So inspiring to me. Now, if you look at verse 42, it says this: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. To the fellowship. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. In the Greek, that's the word koinonia. They devoted themselves to the koinonia. The fellowship. Life together in early Christianity, it was so important for early followers of Jesus. They moved out of isolation and into a family. Now, the word devoted in Greek is proskartereo. Proskartereo. Let me define the word. It can mean devoted, steadfast, continuing all the time in a place, persevering, not fainting, constantly waiting, constantly ready. Proskartereo. Say that with me. Proskartereo. Yeah, good. Proskartereo. So good. So they were devoted to their life together with each other. They were steadfast in their life together with each other. They were continuing all the time in their life together with each other. They were persevering in their life together. They were not fainting in their life together. Do you get the picture? As we said last week, the pandemic has made isolation so easy. So easy. How many of us have felt pulled away from communities we once knew and loved, from friendships, from family, from the daily rhythm of seeing people that we love? It's so easy to move into further isolation during the pandemic. You know, I think of one of my favorite Beatles songs, Eleanor Rigby. Ever since I was a kid, I was just, you know, it's a haunting song. I kept thinking about the characters in Eleanor Rigby and the line from that song, "All the lonely people, where do they all come from?" You know, and as I said last week, introverts, I know, you know, COVID-19 has been a bit of a joy to you, right? Like, it's like, oh, it's so nice, right? Like, to kind of have my own time, alone time. And again, I want to celebrate some beautiful things. I, during the pandemic, have had more time with my children. That's a win, I think. It's a massive win. I don't think. It is. It's a win. It's good. And there's been more margin in life, and some of us have found a simpler way of living, and things have slowed down. And for all those things, I celebrate those. Those are wonderful. And yet, along with it, there has been a pulling into isolation. Last week, we described what Augustine and Luther called a life curved inward, and we used the Latin incurvatus in se. And that a life curved inward is a life that's kind of turned in on the self, and it spirals inward and downward. It's a life of sin and isolation, further pulling away from others, pulling away from God's word, pulling away from prayer, pulling away from community. But the life God is calling us to is a life excurvatus exe. So it's a life curved outwards. And so our life is like exposed to the love of God and exposed to community and exposed to God's word. And slowly, as we are more exposed to the love of God, we move upward and outward in health and in freedom. So God is calling us into loving him and loving others. Excurvatus exe. So, North Langley, as we move into a new year, with no end in sight in these COVID restrictions, how is Jesus calling you into that second circle, into a life together? Who are the people that you're on the journey with? When you look to the right and to the left, I totally did that wrong. I looked, I said right, and I said left. I don't know my right from my left. Okay, when I look left or right, who's next to me? Who's with me? Who's walking shoulder to shoulder with me? And so I want to ask you that question. Who are you living the Christian life alongside? As iron sharpens iron, walking together, following Jesus. You know, we're invited into the beautiful relationship of the Trinity. At the core of community is the Trinity. We worship one God who eternally exists as three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in the Trinity, there is a mutual relationship of love, of submission and love for one another, Father, Son, and Spirit. They live together, they exist together, three persons in one God. And so we're invited into that relationship of love, the eternal relationship of the Trinity. We're invited into it. It's beautiful. One of the more helpful images that I've found about what community means is one that I've shared a couple times before, but it's coals on a fire. Now picture a bunch of coals, just you're gonna cook up something really tasty in the summer. And you got a bag of coals and you put them on the fire and they all slowly, they start to warm up, right? They start to get red. And then they're all glowing red. But you notice the one coal that kind of rolled off the stack, right? And it's over in the corner. And it's become black again. You know, it used to be red, but it's gone back to black. And that coal cannot exist on its own, can't do the job it was meant to do on its own. But simply by gathering near the stack of coals, it will glow red again. And I feel like this is a helpful image in our apprenticeship to Jesus. For many of us, some of the things we've been going through in life are simply because we have pulled away from Christian community. We've pulled away from those that love us, that are going to pray for us, that are going to walk with us, that are going to challenge us. And we've pulled away. But simply by coming close again, literally by walking with these people that you love and that love you, again, in Christian community, there's this glowing that will take place simply by coming near again. Coals in the fire. You know, when I look at the Apostle Paul's life, I see this all over the place. The Apostle Paul loved Christian community. He was surrounded by those that loved him and whom he loved. Think of names like Barnabas, Titus, Timothy, Epaphroditus, Silas. These are all names that when you read Paul, you hear these names. He interacts with them. Sometimes he has conflicts with them, but he walks with them in Christian community. And this week, I want to read you a chapter out of the book of Romans. And it's a chapter, I've never preached on this chapter ever in my life. And I read it this week, and I was so blown away by the beauty of the community that surrounded Paul. And I'm going to walk through this chapter, and I want you to see, just sit back and just listen to the names. That's all I want you to do. Just sit back and listen to the names and look at the relationships he had with all of these people. And what I want you to see as we walk through this is this incredible, beautiful community that Paul was anchored in. So here we go. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and to give her any help she may need from you, for she's been the benefactor of many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risk their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews who have been in prison with me. They're outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet those in the house of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobas, Hermas, and the other brothers and sisters with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the Lord's people who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Paul's clearly not in a pandemic at this moment. No kissing allowed. All the churches of Christ send greetings. We're going to skip verses 17 to 20, verses 21. Timothy, my co-worker, sends his greetings to you, as do Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my fellow Jews. I, Tertius, who wrote down this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy, send you his greetings. Erastus, who is the city's director of public works, and our brother Cordus send you their greetings. Okay, when I read that this week, I was blown away. Now, first of all, I just want to say to any of you who are expecting a child and hunting for baby names, this is a good list. So among my favorites in that list were Tryphena, Tryphosa, Asyncritus, and Phlegon. Baby name search is over. Take your pick. Okay, what's my point with all this? Paul mentions 36 names. 36 names. Not to mention entire households that he's greeting. Did you know that he's writing this letter to Rome? And most scholars say that he's not yet been to Rome yet. How does he know all these people? Some of these are people that he's met in other cities who've traveled to Rome. Some of these people he's heard about, and he's already built some kind of relationship in a distant way with them. It's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Paul is surrounded and committed to a life together. Early Christians loved one another. They cared about each other. They were committed to life together. Life together, we don't follow Jesus alone. So I want to ask you, North Langley, who are you on the journey with? I like how Ronald Rollheiser said it. He writes this: ecclesiology, church, by definition, is precisely that, walking to God within a community. To attempt to make spirituality a private affair is to reject part of our very nature and walk inside a loneliness that God himself has damned. To walk inside a loneliness that God himself, at the cross and at the resurrection, has damned. In other words, God put to death the idea that you do this alone. God put that idea to death. And Jesus invites you into a family. When you give your life to Jesus, you are part of a family. You are adopted into a new family. You're part of a body together. So who are you on the journey with? How is Jesus drawing you into a life together with others? Now, we need to say this very clearly. Life together is difficult. For any of you who have walked with others in the Christian church for any amount of time, you can amen that quietly under your breath. Community's hard. Sometimes Christian community is difficult, very difficult. It requires confession, reconciliation, care. It requires time, hard seasons, competing priorities. But this is Jesus' plan. I think we need to rebuke any idealism we have about life together. Community's not perfect. Sheldon Van Auken, in his book, A Severe Mercy, he tells a story of buying a new car and then taking a hammer and whacking his car. And someone was like, "Why did you do that?" And he's like, "This action freed me from worrying about my car ever getting a dent, because it already had a dent. So then I didn't need to worry about it." Strange. Strange, but I think that's the way we are sometimes. We have such idealism about Christian community, and we're just kind of, we're trying to navigate Christian community without ever feeling like it's all ever going to be hard. And what we could do right now is we could just put a dent into Christian community and say, it's hard. It's hard. Let's walk away from any idealism we have of the perfect community. Now we're just free to drive the car, to walk with others in very imperfect community. Let's take a swing at that notion of pristine, untouched, perfect community. It literally does not exist. If you're hunting for perfect Christian community, it's not there. It doesn't exist. There is lots that's difficult. Bonhoeffer writes this. He says, "He who loves his dream of a community more than the Christian community itself becomes a destroyer of the latter, even though his personal intentions may be ever so honest and earnest and sacrificial." Are we forfeiting Christian community because of our idealism? We say, you know, it has to look a certain way. The right people have to be in the room. I really want to kind of be BFFs with everybody. And I really want to be treated well. And I don't want anyone to say anything hard to me. And whatever, you know, it's like, okay, well, that's not going to work. That's a lot of idealism. That's not Christian community. Christian community is a lot messier than that. Are we forfeiting something Jesus wants for us because people are difficult or awkward or unlike us or time-consuming, or the list goes on? You know, one day I had this big realization where I was like, wait, I'm the broken person that those in my life have to deal with. Like, I'm the one who carries tons of issues into my community. If I'm going around looking for perfect community, you know, many of you have heard this joke before, but it doesn't exist, and I will ruin it when I join it. If there was a perfect community by me joining, it's ruined. It's no longer perfect because I bring into this community all of my baggage and awkwardness and frustrations. I don't want my idealism to get in the way of what Jesus has in store for me. Life together, it's Jesus' idea. Do you think his community was perfect? Peter denies him in his very last moments before the cross. Judas betrays him. Jesus didn't walk around with any idealism about what Christian community could look like. He's been betrayed. He's been rejected amongst his closest friends. But it's still his idea. And he's calling you into it. Jesus said this, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And we just need to be around people to do that, right? We have to be around people to do that. I've enjoyed a very rich, complicated, messy, wonderful, encouraging, frustrating, life-changing, agonizing journey in all my years as I follow Jesus. But I want to offer hope. There is a joy that I found in life together amidst all of its challenges. For years, yes, it's been hard, but it's been so very good. I have been shaped by the many brothers, many men who have leaned into my life and who have encouraged me, who've spoken truth when I needed to hear it, who've prayed for me when I needed prayer. I've been shaped by these brothers in my life. Are you in a group that is meeting, learning, eating, praying, giving together? I'm going to give some really practical things that you might want to consider. First of all, I want to say we do this here at North Langley through what we call life groups. Life groups. And if you are at all interested in a life group is 8 to 14 people-ish, something like that, who meet together and who do life together, who study God's word together, who pray for one another, who care for one another. We have over 50 groups at our church, 50 life groups. And I was just in a life group leader training the other day, and there are new leaders ready to welcome new people into community. Should you pray about a life group, about joining a circle? Some groups are going to meet over Zoom this fall. Some will try to meet in person safely, socially distanced. But there are communities out there ready to welcome you. But what we would encourage you to do is to take the Life Together course. This course is a 3-week introduction to life groups at North Langley. I would encourage you to take this before it starts. Life groups will form out of those who attend this class, and it starts Wednesday, September 30th at 7 p.m. And there's some information here on the screen for you, but be sure you take this course. If you are at all interested in growing in Christian community, come. And you're kind of going, I don't know where I'd start. I don't know who I would ask. Just come to the course, and we would love to welcome you there. Out of life groups come what we call apprentice groups. And these are smaller. These are groups of like maybe 3 to 4 people of the same gender. That's 3 or 4 men or 3 or 4 women who are like iron sharpens iron, walking together, meeting weekly to pray together, to encourage each other. And for the last couple of years, I've been so blessed by walking with a few men in a group who have been challenging me, who speak into my life, who pray for me. And this is where transformation happens, in apprentice groups. Our ideal is that out of those life groups of, let's say, 12 people, that you can form 3 or 4 apprentice groups out of that life group. That's kind of the ideal, but some of you I know have formed apprentice groups. Maybe you've just had a couple friends and you've said, hey, the 3 of us, let's meet together, let's pray together. So that's beautiful as well. If you need any more information, our whole staff would love to tell you more about life groups and apprentice groups. And of course, a few other options. For some of you who are brand new to Jesus, just a reminder, there's Alpha, and you heard about Alpha earlier. You've heard about Alpha for a couple weeks, but this is perfect. If you're brand new to Christian community and you're discovering who Jesus is, would you come? It's just 8 weeks long. It's on Monday nights. It starts not this Monday, but next Monday, the 28th. It is a perfect first step into Christian community for those of you who are new. You also heard about Freedom Session. For those of you who are feeling stuck in life, feeling like you need a touch from God for healing in life, Freedom Session, that we naturally put you into community, into small community. You also heard Robbie and Sue talk about classes and courses and support groups for those of you who are walking with mental health struggles or walking through a divorce or through cancer, or you're grieving the loss of someone you love. And so, again, all of these are on-ramps. That's what I like to call them, just on-ramps into community. Now, that's us as a church. We as leaders of the church, we're facilitating these communities, and that's good. But here's the deal. Kind of pause all those thoughts for a second. You might have a number of friends that this could happen naturally or organically with, right? You just say, hey, let's meet together at a coffee shop. Let's meet over Zoom. Let's go on a walk together, you know, socially distanced, meeting together, and just say, let's journey with Jesus together. That's beautiful. And so our hope is to do what we can as leaders to facilitate community as much as possible. Again, these are just on-ramps. I had a great conversation this last week with a good friend of mine, and I love him dearly, and he was just chatting with me honestly about God's love, and we were having a really good conversation about God's love, and we were both kind of, I was reflecting on the fact that after that conversation, I went away, and I was reflecting on the fact that we don't feel God's love at times, and yet sometimes we feel the care and the love of those around us in community. So sometimes we say things like, oh, I don't feel God's love, or I don't feel the love of Jesus. But there are these Christians who've reached out to me, and they're praying for me, and they're walking with me, and they're sometimes saying some hard things in my life that I need to hear, right? And I thought, wait a minute, that is Jesus coming near you. We are the body of Christ. So as we love each other, that's Jesus' love for one another. As we care for each other, that's the hands and feet of Jesus caring for one another. How do I experience the love of Jesus? I experience it in Christian community. I experience the love of Jesus when those around me are loving me and caring for me. Do you have epiphanies where all of a sudden you see Jesus in the sky when the clouds part? Probably not. But probably the way you experience the tangible love of Jesus is with the Christian community that is gathered around you, who love you in Jesus' name. So here's what I want to say. Life together is how we experience the love of Jesus. Prayer, encouragement, comfort, challenge, conviction, growth, life together is how we experience the love of Jesus. This has to be a priority. As I finish here, during the pandemic, you are going to continue for this whole fall. I guarantee you're going to continue to feel pulled into isolation. I guarantee that the temptation will be to pull away from Christian community, to continue to say no to meeting with others or to gathering for prayer or for Bible study. You are going to feel a magnetic pull into isolation. I know we've all felt it already, but you're going to continue to feel it. And what could we do to say no to that and yes to the plan that Jesus has for us? I love how John Ortberg writes this. He says this: people rarely drift into deep community. Psychologist Alan McGinnis notes that rule number one for entering into deep friendship sounds deceptively simple: assign top priority to your relationships. Ironically, we tend to devote massive amounts of time to making money, running errands, and succeeding at our jobs, but we neglect giving our most valuable possession, time, to the experience for which we were created, community. Community will require time. And as we end our time together and as the worship team comes up, I would like to just say that the most important thing we can do right now is go to the cross. If you would, maybe I'd just welcome you to close your eyes and see Jesus in his final days before he went to the cross. He kneels down and he prays. And in John 17, we have a record of what's called his high priestly prayer. And in John 17, he says, "The hour has come. It's time for the cross." It's the moment he would die and give up his life. And there at the very end, his prayer is this. He prays, he gets on his knees, and to his heavenly Father, he says, "Father, I pray that they would be one." Who's he talking about? He's talking about us. In his final moments before he goes to the cross, he falls on his knees and goes, "Lord God, Father God, may they be one. May they be one." North Langley, how is Jesus leading you into life together with others? Right now, in some quiet moments, what's the next step Jesus is asking you to take into life together? Would you take a moment and listen? Jesus, give my friends in this room and my friends who are watching vision. Give them vision. Show them the joy that awaits them as they fellowship with others. Show them the community that you're drawing them to. Give them strength and energy to make the first step, to reach out to others, to join community here at the church. God, give all of us a picture, a vision for what life together looks like. We love you, Jesus, and our prayer is that your prayer would be fully complete and answered, that we may be one. We love you, Jesus. Amen.